senseless game. Every move stokes the flame. Unyielding, unbroken, proud.
Hey everybody, Matt Michaels here on the DeFalco Files with the owner and creator of FSW, the future stars of wrestling here in Las Vegas, Joe DeFalco. Oh, Joe, we are recouping this week from the past 8 days of nonstop action, excitement, headaches, problems. You experienced it. You got it. WrestleMania week. How was it?
The good, the bad, and the ugly.
Going into the week, what were your expectations heading in? And by the end of the week, did a lot of things meet those expectations, or did things change throughout the week to where you saw some of the realities and maybe the headaches or the pleasures of running something as, you know, big and massive as this whole week has become for the wrestling industry?
Well, I'll be honest with you. You know, I knew leading up to it, it was going to be long. It was going to be hectic, but it was the anticipation. Once we got there, that was the sigh of relief. It was like, you know, as I stated before, it's like my two only childhood friends happened to come in that week beforehand. So Sunday and Tuesday was very busy for me. And then, you know, going out to eat. But I knew I had to get up at 4 a.m. because Channel 8 wanted to do some stuff. So obviously we're not going to turn down that opportunity. So I was up at 4 a.m. Wednesday. So that was the start of the week. And, you know, that ran for a few hours. Then I went home. I probably slept for an hour. And then we had the Gabe seminar at 10 a.m. And right. That ran to 2-3 o'clock. You know, went home again, rested a little bit, but had to be there at like 5-ish because we had to prepare for the first show, which was the only show on Wednesday. So then Wednesday night, I got a little bit of sleep, woke up Thursday. And I was up at 8 a.m., 9 a.m. maybe. And the first show was at 11. So, yeah, I had to be up at like 8:30. I had to be there at 9 because they wanted to get in. So, you know, 11 a.m. kickoff and then at 2. And then the first show goes long. And it's like, Jesus Christ, come on, guys. They were making good time. And then they didn't. And in the meantime, the next group is there. And then the next group. And we had 5 shows Thursday and don't get a lot of sleep. And you have to get up Friday at 8 o'clock. I woke up because I had to be there kind of early because it was a 10:30 in the morning show. Right. And, you know, thankfully, Ed didn't go along, even though he had 11 matches. Yeah. And it was a 10:30 start and everything was good for the 1:30 show. And then, Manny's show had some glitches on the devotion for the feed for some reason, not on our end, but it wasn't connecting right because he chose to do a pay-per-view. So I don't know how well that did. I just know if you guys are all paying $8 a month to be on Triller to watch 1,000 shows, how many people are paying $15 to watch a one-off show? So right. I don't know. And then Friday, of course, we have the ID show, which we were a little concerned with earlier in the week, but ticket sales boomed and we packed the house. And then the Friday night show, they were hoping to start at 11:30. They didn't. It was 12. It wasn't highly attended at all. But Jonathan left and it was coming back at like 2 a.m. So fortunately, I didn't have to go back to lock up. Yeah. So I got to chill a little Friday night. And then Saturday, we had no shows, but I ended up booking the Mania watch party with the Hard Rock, and I got the Godfather, and Ice Williams was there. and MK Broad, Missy Hyatt. So there was some, you know, people that were on hand, and that went really well. Like I thought there was going to be five people there, and it turned out there was over 100, which shows at the pricing, that price point they had in the GA, that the Hard Rock Cafe has a very large reach, because I don't know if we could take credit for a lot of that, because on April 9th or 10th, we hadn't even really announced anything yet. There was 50 other things going on in town, yet they drew very, very well. So that was Saturday, chilled again. And then Sunday, we did an hour and a half Future Legend Women's Tournament. The one men's match four-way was fantastic. And that was it. You know, we were done. And then I was chilling, and I forgot, hey, the Luchas were coming in to do their training. So that was all that was left for me. And then Monday we had a couple of out-of-towners come in and train, and same thing with Tuesday. And pretty much none of our students, because they were, you know, didn't see much of my students at the at any of the shows. Like, maybe you think you'd want to show face. You think maybe some female talent that might want to go to the women's show, being that the 25 and under tournament was pretty much 22 and under. And, you know, all these people, all these women have done really big things at a very young age. You think you might want to network. You know, that's the, you know, that's the best way to get booked, is networking with people and making connections and all these companies. And hey, this is me, and I'm, you know, I'm doing pretty well. You know, you can ask Joe about me, because, you know, obviously if you're there and you're helping and you're good and you put the word out, people are going to ask me. There was very few people that I could really put a vouch on, because most of them weren't there all week. You know, after the show Wednesday night, I get there Thursday, and basically it's me and Scoop, our photographer, cleaning the fucking gym. You know? Yeah. And it's like, you know, it is what it is. Pay your dues, and, you know, maybe I'll book you. It's like, and then it's like, okay, so you were so busy, you couldn't make Mania, whatever. You had school, you had this, you had work. Well, we were there for 15 hours on Thursday and Friday. I highly doubt you were working 15 hours. You couldn't put a couple hours in, mingle. Maybe, hey, Gabe, how you doing? I'm Joe. I'm Mike. I'm Tom. Whatever, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, I thought this is what you want to do with your career. You know, you want to be a professional wrestler, yet nobody seems to really want to put in the work. It's like, man, all these other people had to fly in. They had to spend money. Boy, you live here, and you couldn't even make it out to the shows. Now, you don't go to your FSW shows. Maybe you went to the Collective and bought tickets, because unless you were Jimmy Jack, who was helping with the ring over there, Brett wasn't letting you all in for free. So you either paid to go to some of these other shows. And I'm not talking about the established wrestlers who got bookings. I'm talking about mainly the students and the Future Shock guys who may have got one booking for the entire weekend. Like, where were you? Like, I don't understand how you're not out there trying to show face.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, a very, what got me is that you did see some of these people from out of town, who were at the school, you know, who were around, who either used the ring to train on Monday or Tuesday, who were at these shows. You know, it's just interesting that they found themselves enough time to make their presence known.
Well, and they were also excited and felt it was an honor if they can get an FSW ring, if they could train at FSW. Hey, I'm this person. Here's my stuff. I'd love to work one of your shows. And I always say it, like, the regular students, they're delusional. Like, they believe like they've earned a right somehow to be on shows because they pay dues. It's like, you ain't on shows till you're ready. So it's like, number one, you can't train enough. You can't sell tickets. And you just think you're magically going to be put on these shows. It's like, I have far more talented people that aren't Future Shock wrestlers. They're wrestlers who are as good as many of our main roster people that are willing to come in for little to no money to wrestle at Future Shock just to be seen for an opportunity.
Yeah.
I'm trying to hand you people opportunities and you don't want to take it.
Yeah.
Like there was more than a half a dozen of our people that I didn't see once.
Right.
Yeah. But maybe you were on Fremont Street. And it's funny because you read stuff on Facebook and how many of these so-called wrestlers, you know, they should be back where they belong, which is in the fucking seat buying a ticket. And it's like, you know, I've always been one, hey, everybody should have an opportunity to fail or succeed. You know, it's disrespectful to say, hey, you shouldn't be a wrestler. Oh, you're not going to be good enough. You know what? Right. Everybody should have the opportunity to fail or succeed. But right. you immediately know, like, I see the people that come in and you kind of know that, hey, you know what? This person may have a bit of a future. They really seem to understand. They're young, but they're hungry and they want to go. And that's what I don't see, man. It's the hunger. Like, man, there's wrestling in town this week. I'm figuring out a way how to be around everywhere. You know, talking to people, getting in ears. Hey, you guys need anything? Make yourself valuable. You know, and it's not going to change. It's the same people, you know. I know Phil is always going to be there when I need something. No questions asked, you know. And you got the others, you know. Bradley's always there, and, you know, and Excellence is there a lot. And Jimmy Jack, you know, usually helps a lot. You know, sometimes he falls off, things are going on, whatever. But there's certain ones that you almost never see, but they're the first ones. Hey, you got a match for me? Hey, I'm here. Do you need something for the pre-show? And it's like, motherfucker, I'll let you know. Stop asking me. Stop asking Remy. After I told you, I'll let you know. And it's like, you know who you are. It's like, if you start fucking annoying me, then what value are you there? So you're not helping. You're not training. So it's Monday and Tuesday. Out of the 5 or 6 FSW students that were there, half of them, 2/3 of them, were ones that I saw this whole weekend.
Yep.
There was the ones I didn't see at all. I didn't see a training either. What are you tired from? Going to WrestleMania? Having to walk out and find an Uber? Like, what the fuck did you do all weekend? All you did was go to a wrestling show.
No.
And now you can't train. You didn't train last week because we had Mania all week. Man, if I wanted to be a wrestler, I'm hungry as a motherfucker. Like, bro, we couldn't even train Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Hey, Monday, let's go. It was even like, you know, after the WWE ID show or you know, when there was time in between. Like, hey, you guys want to get in the ring and roll around, you know, by the other time the guys show up, it's another hour.
Yeah.
You know, there was time to fit in some rolling around and shit like that. Whether it was, hey, Saturday, there's no kids class, there's no shows. Hey, can we get in the gym? Never was asked. I opened the gym on Monday at 5 o'clock. Figuring, hey, does people want to come in here? I didn't see a soul till 5:30, and they were out of towners that finally showed up.
Yeah.
You know, whatever.
Who also were just kind of like the look on their faces of, wait, no one's here right now? It stunned them.
I'm glad I didn't waste my money and actually pay a trainer to show up Monday. You know, because Cody asked, like, hey, but I'm like, yeah, it's the day after Mania. And again, I get it. All right, one day. I'll give you the one day.
Yeah.
Now it's 2 days. And, you know, one of our younger students who never had a match was there, the Andrew Kidd. But that was, he was the only one that I didn't see all weekend that actually at least came to training on Tuesday. It's like all these other guys, man, you're paying full price. You're crying, hey, Future Shock, May 17th, oh, what a work. Well, you got to be good enough. And if I see you twice in a month, odds are you're probably not ready for a match. So,
you know, you kind of, you know, hit on a couple things, mentioning the ID tournament and the Future Legends tournament. But one shout out, you know, when you're talking about people, availability, reliability, stuff like that, one of the things that stands out to me is the fact that you had to reach out to Alice Blair and didn't have much time to, you know, prepare, but she got there. She wrestled a good match and did what she was asked to do. And I think that that's a great example of, you know, you never know. It's like, you never know. That call might come, you know, 2 hours before a show and saying, hey, listen, we're in a situation, can you get down here? And she did wonderful.
Yeah, she had asked me, she's like, hey, you know, I'm under 25. I'd love to be in the tournament. And I'm like, well, at this point, unless we go to 12, we're kind of set. We have the 10. And then all of a sudden I woke up and there was the message. And Zeta Steel, long week, you know, just spit. Okay, no problem, you know. And then Brooke Havoc got injured at the GCW event. So she hurt her ankle or something with her leg. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm good not filling two spots. But Alice Blair made mention to me a month and a half ago. And I remember these things. So I'm like, hey, I got an open spot. Would you like it? I will be there. And took advantage of an opportunity to see where there was a lot of talent. And there was a lot of people that were aware of who Jasmine Allure and who Carolina Cruz and who Maggie Lee is, that, you know, maybe Alice Blair made 3 or 4 new fans. Maybe she sold some shirts. Maybe she made a connection, and she also is going to have 1,000 people watch her match on Triller.
Yeah.
Took advantage of an opportunity that was given to her. And, you know, and like I said, I'm sitting there and I even said it on commentary. It's amazing that there's female talent in this city and not one of them came down to like check out the show. Like, hey, you know, am I doing something wrong at 21 years old and somehow, hey, I think I'm as good as this person. Whatever your story is, why haven't I gotten the accolades that these people have? Maybe I can inquire. Maybe I can ask some questions. Maybe I can watch and learn. Maybe I could sit in a corner and just observe. Nothing. And it's like, you know, there was a couple of female wrestlers, but they were from out of town. Who made their way? Hey, can we help? Save buying a ticket. Hey, can I help out? What do you need?
Yeah.
You know, I don't understand. This ain't going to happen again for 2, 3, 4, 5 years. No, it ain't happening in 2 or 3 years. It might happen in 5 to 10 years.
Right. That it's happened already, again. Right. Because it's already booked out, I think, for 5 years. So, you know, it's going to be at least anywhere between 5 to 10 years before they can make their way back here.
In most cases, if you were going to make it as a wrestler, the next time WrestleMania is here, you better have made it by then. Cause if you're not, well, then you're just spinning the wheels. So you helping out and now you're an 8.5 year veteran I'm not sure what that benefit becomes. But this was your one opportunity to network with everybody who's anybody, because, you know, we had the lowest of the lowest independent wrestling people that nobody knows from Michigan who got to work on a show, to another show that had, you know, ex-WWE, TNA, AEW talent.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the local talent, unfortunately, oh, I have to work. You know, George is a guy who trained with us for a couple months, and then he went to school. He's in school in Reno. And every time he comes in, hey, is it cool if I drop in, $20 drop-in rate, whatever? Absolutely, George. Even before he trained, when we had stuff at the Silver Knights, he was there to help set up the ring. He ran basically, you know, selling the waters and sodas and everything after Daniel left on Friday, and was there for Saturday and stayed till 2 in the morning Friday night. And here's a guy who, you know, is, you know, came in Monday and left to go back to school Tuesday to head up to Reno, you know? And it's like, so why can he make it and none of you other guys or girls can make it? Like, I even posted earlier, like, hey, we're going to be around for 15 hours. I don't need you to be there for 15 hours. But none of yous were able to put in 2, 3, 4 hours. I don't care what you got going on. Not everybody's working 15-hour days.
Yeah. The other thing that really, for example, so Kaya Dream had a really, really solid match with Brittany Brooks on the Legends Tournament, Future Legends Tournament show. You know, in talking to her a number of months ago when she had her first match here, she said that she wanted to put her, you know, career in front of her. She wanted to chase it. And she moved to Texas and became Booker's champion at Reality Wrestling just a few weeks ago. She's in the gym every single day, every day. And you can see between where she was 3, 4 months ago to where she is now, that growth of just continuously getting the reps in and learning. And the thing is that if you're just thinking about locally here, right, you're forgetting that every single state has people like Kaya Dream who want to achieve that ultimate goal and who are putting in that time every single day in the gym every day. So that's the thing, that you're not only competing against what's around you, you're competing against this whole pool. And if you've been watching WWE signings lately, you're competing against the whole world because they've been sending a lot of international people. So if you're not taking that time and coming in and having people, you know, see your face every time they come on, and they should be going, man, that person works so hard, I kind of need to start doing that myself if I want to get to that level.
Well, you could just look at FSW. Go take a look at Gypsy Mac, who I didn't book before.
Yeah.
You know, she moved here to train here to get as good a training as she can get. And then she saw, whoa. It's like, I'm below the eight ball here. I need to get shit done. And now she's busted her ass. She's the women's champion, and she's on par with what we had. And then Brittany Brooks now lives here. So, you know, Rochelle took some time off, but I'm going to assume Rochelle's going to be around a little bit. So you got Moz, you got Rochelle, you got Gypsy, you got Brittany, you got Alice Blair. So that's already five. Okay. Then you got Zamaya, who's now become a local to us, whenever she can. That's six. Jada Stone, who you saw again. Hey, Joe, don't forget about me. I want to be on the shows. And it's like, yeah, you get booked a lot in Japan. So hopefully in May, it looks like we got. That's seven. Brooke Havoc. She's good friends with Brittany Brooks. You know, she came in a couple weeks ago and had a flight, and instead of going home, came to Vegas to train.
Yeah.
So that's 8. And that's not counting the few that we have that are in training. So we got 8 already. And that's not counting who else we might want to use, you know, and who's reached out. Hey, I'll come in, like through NJ, the Kaya Dreams and Malik's and the Eli Knights, that even though they're based out of Houston, that they'll book themselves a flight to get on a show at FSW. And it's like, man, it's hard to get 8 women on one wrestling show. Yeah. Because, you know, I always have the yapping argument with Maz. Well, you know, you don't have enough women's matches. And I'm like, okay, Maz, well, we have 5-6 women and we got 30 guys. So it's hard to put 4 women's matches and use all of you and then not use 25 of the male talent. You know,
right?
It's just not that easy. But we do a Future Legend women's tournament, and now there's 10 women, and there's 1 match of the guys because that's how it works. And you know, we've tried to do the Future Stars of Women's Wrestling with MK and things like that, but you can just only run so many shows that we have. And then you got Olivia Vegas, she moved from Oklahoma.
Right.
And, you know, she's scratching and clawing to try to get on them. And, you know, she's kind of just under, but she's gotten better. And, you know, I yell at her, yeah, you need to train more. You know, you either want this or you don't want this. It's like, you can't say I want to be a wrestler, but then be like, well, you know, I got to work. Oh, I got to work. Well, you're never going to get anywhere. Brian Kendrick said it. You know, Chris Bay lost a lot of jobs because being the wrestler was the most important thing. Again, everybody needs to pay their bills. I understand. But you got to try to find a job, because if that job isn't working for you to be able to train and wrestle, then you're never going to be a wrestler. You could be that person who tells everybody on Facebook, and there's far more of those than actual wrestlers. Oh, I'm a wrestler. So there's that network. It should be the network of, We want to tell everybody we're wrestlers, but we're really not. You know, that would have 9 million motherfuckers in that group, because most of them aren't wrestlers. Wrestling once or twice a month and wrestling on a student show is not being a wrestler. You know, not everybody has to be, wrestling pays my bills. Yeah, I get that. You know, those are far and few between. But if you're not booked 6-8 times every month consistently, that means you're not probably there yet. Means you're not good enough yet, you know? And then again, there's so many shows that also waters things down, because people that aren't talented enough get to be on shows and then believe with their delusions that they're so good that they don't need to get better because, hey, I'm booked 3 times next week. And it's like, And there's a reason why you're still on our Future Shock student shows and all these other people are jumping over you and they're on the main shows, because they are better.
Yeah.
And bottom line is, the strong survive. You want to be that person? Matt Vandegrift just hits me back up. Hey, still got the Luchas coming in at 3? Yes, Matt, I do. Can you open up the gym for me at 1? Yes, Matt, I can. Just now, I get a message. It's like, Matt messaged you. I'm like, well, I'm talking to you. What the fuck are you messaging me for? So I'm like, oh, wait, maybe it's not you. So I click it. Hey, we still good for 1? Absolutely, Matt. That way, Matt, who wrestles on New Japan and gets booked a lot and had a match and had all the stuff going on this weekend.
Yep.
I need to get in the ring and train.
Yep.
You know, yesterday we had a who's who. Jordan Oasis hits me up. Had to fucking yell at him. Dude, don't tell me 12 o'clock and I'm sitting here till 12:30. I got a life. next time you're going to tell me right when you get here and you're going to wait 5 or 10 minutes or 20 minutes for me. Yeah. And it was Aria Davari. It was Zeta Steele and Dante Martin from AEW.
Yep.
Wow. Zeta Steele wrestled a whole bunch of matches.
Yeah.
And where is she? She's training. Do you think that you're that good that you can shortcut your way into WWE or AEW or TNA? You're fucking nuts. Yeah. That's where the delusion is. Mr. Robinson's Neighborhood, the word of the day, delusional. Like you have to put in the work.
Right. And so putting in the work ties into what we saw. Since you mentioned Matt's name, between Matt and Bodie and Bryce and Marcus Mathers. Probably one of the best matches this year in FSW.
It was the best match I saw this weekend.
Same here.
And it's like, how easy is it for it on Sunday morning for those four guys to be like, hey, bro, this is a women's show. I know it's funny. So I had to do commentary. And all of a sudden, introducing first. And it's like Bryce Saturn. And it's like kind of crickety. Like, oh, there's some guys on this show. Who gives a fuck? You know? And then it got a little better because, you know, you had, you know, Mathers has a lot of people know who he is. And then locally, we had Bodie and Matt. So they got to be a little bit, hey, oh, cool, yeah, blah, blah, blah. And then they went out there, and they weren't like, hey, guys, nobody gives a fuck. Let's just fucking mail it in, you know, get our payday, and we're done. You know, we can have a decent match. No, those guys went out and fucking murdered it. And they didn't say, hey, Bodie gets tossed out by Paro at 3:15 in the morning the night before, and from what I heard, Paro said the spot was taking too long, and there was supposed to be other people out there, and Jay Vidal was the only one out there, and Paro's a big man, and he and I saw the clip Bodie showed me. He just tossed Bodie, who landed it on Jay, and didn't really feel too good about it. So he was kind of a little achy. And again, he's 17. So that motherfucker better be good to go. But he wasn't like, oh, I'm not going to do my shit because, you know, I'm going to go to sleep soon and go watch Mania and lay on the couch. Nah, Bodie got fucking 3-4 hours of sleep, got up, got here. First one here to the show.
Yep.
The show's at noon.
Yeah.
And it's 9 o'clock, and he's like the first guy here. I'm like, it was the last show, Bodie. You know, being here at 10, I didn't really care, you know, but it was like he was shocked that like nobody was there that early.
Go figure.
And it was like, yeah, you know, I gave a lot of freedom to that, you know. And it was like I had a long week, but I'm 60. I'm gonna be 60. But I still was there as long as I could be. I went home for a couple of hour, 2 hour stretches over, you know, 30 hours Thursday and Friday, you know. And it's like these guys want to wrestle and they're 19, 20, 22, 24. Like, come on, guys. Like, you're not. And again, I ain't going to do it for 5 to 10 years, but they're going to now have to fly and pay money to be a part of WrestleMania. So all those locals were like, wow, you guys had it easy. All you had to do was roll out of bed when you felt like it, and you could have went anywhere and spent hours talking to people. Yeah. You know, Sean T, hey, Chris Bay, you need help running your table. Sure. So Sean T now has pictures with 30 motherfuckers and people he knows and catches up with people, and that's what it's all about. You know, especially if you've been doing this for a while. You make memories and you make friends, and you never know that you guys are on equal par today, but who knows, you become good friends with somebody who in the future might be able to give you a little assist, might be able to help you out, get a booking. And that's what the camaraderie of the wrestling business is. I met so many people. Oh, you're Joe DeFalco. Awesome. Blah, 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 blah. You know, and people I didn't even know. And then there was people that I didn't really recognize. Hey, Joe, how's it been? Blah, blah, blah. Oh, it's been great. Good seeing you again. You know, and it's like, you know, people want to reach out and network. You know, I gave out some business cards, but I had people, hey, can I send you the absolute?
Yeah.
You know, and like I had conversations with numerous people that I had never met before. Hey, we run the stuff. And, you know, Kenny might be the in because, you know, Kenny's world travel. You know, all Caribbean, I see some people and I start talking. Or Chris Bay, hey, you did the benefit show. That was cool. Started a conversation. It's so easy to start a conversation with somebody.
No, and that's the whole thing. Like, you know, I saw AJ Francis Sunday morning, you know, and just, you know, big smiles and stuff and, you know, and handshake and, you know, because when you start to get to know someone and they recognize you and stuff, now you have a little bit to talk about. And, you know, we talked about their match on TNA on Thursday and how it got overshadowed by the bloodbath they put on before it. And, you know, Eric Young, AJ Francis and Steve Maclin had one hell of a match. I thought stole that show. But the coolest thing was hearing this man talk about some of the things he did in that match, and it just gave you goosebumps because that's the passion you want to be around, right? These are the guys that you want to be around. Square Family Wrestling says it well. Bay was everywhere. If the talent should learn anything, they shouldn't have learned from Bay. He was so tired when we saw him Sunday morning.
Here's a guy. It was like, I didn't even know. He told me yesterday because we gave him his check. And it was like, oh, yeah, I saw you running around Friday for the ID show. I'm like, oh, I didn't see you. It was like, because we had a run, and then they had to go to the GCW thing. And here's a guy who just broke his fucking neck. And he's making appearances everywhere because he knows that he can't do it next week or the week after.
Yep.
He has to put in the time. And walked Brody Lee to the, you know, did the thing with Brody Lee Jr. And, you know, it's like, hey, Russell Khan hit him up. You want a table? Went over there. Of course he does. He's going to turn that down because he's tired. Right. And it's like, he knows that Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, he can rest. He can relax. Yeah. And do whatever he needs to do. Get back on track. Like you said, one of the days he had to leave to go to the rehab and do his thing. But he wasn't going to miss out on the opportunity. You know, he said, you know, he got on the Cody bus. He said, you know, people were doing pre-tapes and they were stopping, you know, to say hello. And there was so much love going around, you know. And what people probably don't know or understand, you know, he's still banged up. He's still recovering. And, you know. You're getting 1,000 hugs and people patting you on the back, not thinking, you know, like, hey, you got to be careful. Like, because everybody sees him walking and stuff like that. That doesn't mean he's 100%. It's like he's still got a long way to go to recover. You know, be gentle.
Yeah.
But, yeah. And then he brought Ace Austin and, you know, and Ace made some money and they went to WrestleCon and, you know, everybody did their thing.
Yep.
It's like, it's crazy the perception of wrestling and how many millions of dollars the fans spent to be in Vegas is fucking mind-boggling.
Yep.
It's people sweating me for a $20 ticket. Like, what? You know, but you got to pay $400 for a meet and greet and don't even include the autograph. That's another $400. Like, really? In what world is $800 to get a Steve Austin autograph with a picture?
One of the and that was Austin. Cena's prices were in the thousands.
Well, that would but you got a $50 lunch too included in that $10,000 price tag.
Well, that was the $10,000. I'm just talking the photo op at the World on Yeah, how the photo op was like $7,000 to $1,000 somewhere in that price. Yeah. It's crazy.
And they wonder why people hang out at the airports trying to get the free autograph. But you know, if you're going to charge that much money, I'm going to hang out too.
And you know, like Sting, we Sunday morning we saw Sting's WrestleCon line was from where he was all the way around, snaking around. I mean, it was insane. That was Sunday morning when he was white-faced Sting. Saturday he was red-faced Sting. So you know that 70% maybe or 50% of that group who was getting his autograph Sunday got his autograph on Saturday in that other makeup. I mean, just brilliant. Brilliant. Good for him.
Hey, you know, it was the same thing. It was like, you know, watching, you know, the women's show, whether it was Poder or whether it was ours, like Carolina Cruz, like she was into the next show, Leva Bates. It's like, hey, we got to get the next people in. They got to set up to take payments. It's like their doors are opening. Like, figure out a way to make your money. Because, like, Leva Bates was signing and signing. It's like, you got to go outside. I don't care where you go. But they need to get in. We're trying to start the show by 2:00.
Yeah, it's just, you know, unique that, you know, this opportunity, you know, was able to happen. You know, not since, you know, kind of that full, the first Full Tilt weekend, did you have something this kind of big? So it's,
yeah,
it's,
nothing compares to WWE.
No, of course not. Of course not. The ID tournament went spectacularly well, in including both, you know, with GCW and FSW. Ice Williams, the only one who got two wins this weekend, which was very interesting.
Yeah, I guess Gabe likes Ice Williams.
Yeah, maybe a little bit.
Yeah. That it's usually the opposite. Usually WWE, when you go to your hometown, they have to bury you.
They take you.
You know, I guess the WWE ID people don't do that. And we talked with Gabe. Gabe was extremely happy. I never met him before, but Trevin Adams, who I guess is Gabe's guy when it came to announcing. I wish I saw. I saw his post yesterday, and he was like, hey, if you need anybody for the Future Legend Women's Tournament, you know, you don't even have to worry, you know, free of charge. I was like, man, I wish I saw this yesterday, because Class had to do the first couple matches because NJ dropped off Kaya and then left. I'm like, he's like, oh, my voice, bro, Mike, I ain't doing this solo. And I didn't even want to do it. Like, I would have had Trevin Adams do it. And he came up and he's like, oh, man, your production was great. Oh, I love Jake. And I'm like, no shit. Jake's like the fucking hidden gem of commentators.
Yep. Absolutely.
Because Jake is an A play-by-play guy as well as an A color guy. So with me, he used to be the color guy. And then when I stepped back and let other people come in, he took over as the play-by-play guy, and he didn't miss a beat. Yep. And Jake is tremendous. And Trevin really enjoyed working with him. He's like, you know, a lot of times you don't know what you're getting in with. It's like, nah, I know for a fact you were going to be fine. Like, I was more concerned about how you were going to be.
Yeah, which makes a lot of sense. Yeah,
you know, so in 4 months, hopefully we're going to do another ID show. Now, we're going to see how that's going to do as a standalone show with nothing else going on in town. So,
yeah, well, and you got to, you know, the one thing is if there's not a lot going on, if you know, fans can afford it, if they've got the time, the talent that is amassed in this ID program right now is incredible. And anytime you get to see these guys up close and, you know, watch them perform, it's a great opportunity to see these guys live, because again, you don't know when these guys are possibly going to either WWE, AEW, TNA, and you might not have the opportunity to see them in that small
set. Well, right. Like Swipe Right, Brad Baylor, who wrestled Ice Williams. They were on NXT.
Yeah.
You know, the gimmick is, man, I saw a class, and I'm like, wow, those guys, Swipe Right, they're the true Billionaire Boys Club. If they were in FSW, they would be the Billionaire Boys Club. They fit that role amazingly.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And it's just fun to see. Like, you know, again, you know, having some friends over there. You know, I'll tell you right now, you know, just getting some questions about Jordan Oasis. And, you know, these guys are making impressions on eyes over there. You know, which is incredible for the longevity of not only their future in WWE potentially, but their future in wrestling. And I think that's huge on what this program is doing. But one of the people who obviously is, you know, an FSW legend, and made an appearance at WrestleMania, but unfortunately didn't get a match, made it known how unpleased he was, and Scarlett as well put in her two cents. You know, how cool was it seeing that Cross get that killer, you know, moment, and how it looks like it's going to be building into something now?
You hope it is, but his shit usually gets, you know, 200,000-400,000 views easy. That got 10 million views.
Yeah,
I looked at it today. I think it was 10.7 million views. He comes out at Mania with Jeff, and I'm like, Cross has got to be there. And then they show Cross, and then there's an eruption from the crowd. Right. So it's like, okay, well, how long can you hold him back? It's like, it's so weird to me. It's like, you're not really doing a lot, but you're giving him the TV time. But you're giving him the TV time, and it's getting over, yet you're still not doing anything yet. And it's like, okay, this is kind of odd. Usually you don't want to give TV time to somebody you're not going to use. Right. But you keep giving it to him, and then he shows up on Raw, and that's the perfect example of it's the perfect storm that Cross has become a babyface because he's calling out like, hey, now we can all take the shortcuts and just be YouTubers and football players and all the stuff. Why do I got to miss everything I've missed? And as a wrestling fan, it's easy because everybody hates Logan Paul, but the motherfucker's good. Okay. Yep. So I actually messaged with Kevin yesterday, and it's like, the only thing better than you versus Logan Paul, I said, would be at the end of this, you aligned with him.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like, do you want to get the heat? But it's like, you got to strike while the iron's hot. Here's the guy that basically cut the line. And what do you do to guys who cut the line? Some guys want to punch you in the fucking face.
Yep.
And, you know, I love the fact that, you know, because it was kind of weird with the AJ thing that he went from Cody's a piece of shit, fuck this motherfucker, and he was like, all of a sudden he was a heel. And now it was like he's being presented when he came back. Not 2 years later, not 9 months later, but like 3 months later, it's like, oh, he's the nice guy, AJ Styles. We're like, wait a second, wasn't he just going to try to murder Cody and shit like that, you know? And it's like, well, I don't want to be that guy. I look in the mirror, I hated myself. Good. You know, they're putting back stuff, foreshadowing, all that good stuff to where now they are with Cross, with the stuff that he did with Rollins, the stuff he did with Drew. That devil on your shoulder type thing. But now it seems to be so resonating with the fans. You can't hold this guy back. Like, yeah. How do you not have Cross, who's this big motherfucker to begin with Logan Paul strutting around, doing whatever he wants to do? Here's the anti-version of it with Kevin. Like, how is this not a built-in storyline? Like, how are we not getting Cross versus Logan Paul at, say, SummerSlam?
Right.
You know, like, they kind of fast-tracked and they put LA Knight over Logan Paul. And as good as LA Knight was on the microphone, it seemed way more rushed. That program was like, okay, we got to get the belt on Rick. And that was
it had something to do with the fact that Logan was the contract was coming up. So that's why they got the title off of him. That's why it was kind of sped up.
Right. And then, right. And again, it was fine, but it's like, you know, Logan Paul is so smarmy and he knows he's really good. And he brings in his YouTube buddies who have no business being in the ring, like Jeff gets to be in a WrestleMania. I mean, I don't know who the fuck he is. They just said Jeff. Fuck's Jeff who? You know? But it works. And you need to have somebody, because just having program after program and beating Rey Mysterio and all that stuff's great. But Logan Paul is as good on the microphone as so many other people. It's like we could get some substance to where Logan Paul don't need to be there because he is kind of a part-timer and doesn't have to be there all the time. Right. And Kevin's finally getting that opportunity. And the thing with Kevin is, yeah, he's menacing. You don't want to see him in the back alley. But he's also a funny motherfucker. Yep. So he throws in those little jabs and the sarcasm. In that promo was fucking awesome. Like, I got on Facebook and I couldn't go. It was like the Chris Bay show. It was like you couldn't go 3 or 4 posts without somebody sharing the Cross thing. Like, holy shit. Like, nobody gives a shit whether it's the work or the shoot or what it is. It's the fact that it's different. It's fresh. Yep. It's like, wow, this is great. Like what he did with Kevin Sullivan as his father and he was the priest. And I'm like, how did they even let you do this? Like, this was so non-WWE. He goes, yeah, they don't give a shit. I could kind of do what I want with the post and the Twitter and they're cool with it. I'm like, wow, that's amazing. Because it's like, he has this following of people.
Yep.
And then it's funny because with the Hammerstone thing, with wrestling at the Bay show, it was like, it's just like a cavalcade of appreciation for him, everything he did with, and it all clicked at the right time. So besides all the stuff with Chris and being able to work and pushing for it, the character really started getting over that now all of a sudden, be honest, you know, a lot of people used to shit on Cross.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
you know. And now it's like, how are we not pushing this? How are they not pushing this motherfucker?
Yep.
And I even hit up. He's like, hey, they gotta do something. He's like, we'll see, you know. And it's almost you get to that point, which I understand. It's like, hey, you know, everybody's awesome. They get paid good money. Obviously, you got to be paid pretty well. But that's why we say with guys like Cage and guys like Lance Hoyt and guys like Cross. Yeah, they love the fact that they got a great contract. But they want to be part of the success of something. Yes. You know, that's why Brian gets hurt wrestling on an indie show, because he wants to wrestle as much as he can.
Yeah.
Because he loves doing it and he knows. You know, as Kevin would say, TikTok, you know, time always wins.
Yeah.
And how much time is left? So it's like, right. You want to get in there and you want to contribute. And Kevin, you know, had one match since July. We're almost back to July.
Yep.
We're a couple months away from July. So that's 10 months. But we've seen Kevin on TV 50 times over that period.
Right.
So it's like, okay, are they going to do something on Raw? And it's like, okay, they did the thing. And AJ Styles said it perfectly. Maybe you should handle it yourself. That was all you needed to hear. And if they don't capitalize on that, because that has to be verbiage that was specifically inserted into that promo.
Right.
I told Kevin, I said, hey, bro, I said, hit up the powers that be, bring me in, and we'll write the cross storyline for WWE and make it happen. I'll do it for like almost nothing.
Well, you know, and Logan Paul, his post WrestleMania interview was the opposite of what Kevin was saying, which was interesting, because Logan was solidifying the fact, look at the guys I've beat. Look, I wrestled Seth Rollins. I hurt myself in the middle of the match. As soon as I finished that match and it was as good as it was, I realized I could do this. Y'all want to put me down for being a part-timer, et cetera, et cetera. The fact of the matter is I'm that fucking good. So it's like,
everybody put over Bad Bunny for a couple of matches as a part-timer. Yeah. He's great. Right.
He's great.
Who's the other guy? But you don't like him. And that's fine because you need that person.
Right.
You need that. Drew McIntyre's a heel, but everybody knows he's a bad motherfucker. And Drew McIntyre's great. So there's a lot of people that like Drew. I love Drew. You know what I mean? I was always a heel kind of guy myself as my favorites. So I love reading all the shit that people bash Logan Paul for no other reason than the fact that they just really don't like him.
They hate him. Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of just bashing and hating, it was great to see that Beans ruined WrestleMania for everyone.
Yeah, as usual. That's why. Know why I didn't see him Friday? He was getting busy, getting ready for probably had to meet up with Cena and the crew.
Oh man,
he's a main eventer. Just ask him.
It's just fun to watch everything and how, you know, polarized everyone can become about things like this. And you mentioned Brian. Shout out to Brian Cage for having the surgery like maybe 10 days ago or so, and being out there and at TNA and at WrestleCon and at, you know, after parties and stuff. It's great to see him, you know, up and about. And
my wife saw the natural selection. I guess there was the picture of him in LA Knight working out.
Yeah.
Like the old days, you know, 2009, Cage was the first one to reach out to me. And because of the Cage coming to FSW, that's when I got the email from Mr. Ricker.
Yeah.
And you know, almost 16 years ago.
Yeah. Think about that, you know, and
it's crazy how time flies.
No, and you said it. It's just like, and these are, and again, these are guys who have always liked to wrestle, and that's the biggest thing is that, you know, that's why Brian is on a show, on an independent show, wrestling, because he loves doing this, you know, and it's fun to see these guys who are successful still wanting to get in with, you know, this younger guy, or maybe someone I haven't wrestled at that level yet, that I've always imagined, you know, wrestling in AJ Styles or someone of that caliber. It's just crazy to see. So, you know, again, that whole feeling of, I guess, camaraderie, this week is just what everything is about in this business. And that's, you know, from a guy like Navajo Warrior, being around scanning people's faces for WWE 2K, you know, for the past 20 some odd years, and to the point that, you know, he's wrapping up his career. You know, people.
Yeah, you want to see the people. It was like, I had probably talked to Sanjay Dutt, and we saw each other. We talked all the time, and we still talked every once in a while. And it was like, hey, going to AEW. It's probably the first time I've seen him in 6 years, 7 years. But it's like I saw him yesterday. And it's like when you actually meet somebody and you enjoy their company and you talk with them, and it's like you try to keep in touch, like a Stu Stone, who I don't really see, loves Stu Stone, and you reach out every once in a while. And it's like the lifelong bonds that you create, and it's just because of the love of wrestling, you know. And it's like, you know, I've met some great people. You know, I've met some annoying motherfuckers. I've met some people that are fucking douchebags and you don't like them, and it is what it is. But man, you know, you kind of forget those people when you go. It's like I used to go to the CAC, and I used to joke that I go into the CAC to see the few people there that I actually enjoy compared to the numerous ones that I don't, you right. know. And yep. it's like, you know, when you become friendly with people, you know, there's always something. It's like my guy Omar, he moved to New Zealand. I told him to hit up the guy from the Iwi who we met at the thing, who's still wrestling. And literally he messaged me. Omar went to the show in New Zealand. And I said, hey, check out Vinny Dunn, bro, blah, 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 blah. And it was like, he's in the ring right now. And then after the show, we went up to him and said, hey, I know Joe. He said, you know, and it's like, here's a guy that from 12 years ago that I met one time. I think maybe they came back a couple years later. But it's like, it's just amazing, you know. I just want to know what's definitely true. I say a lot of statements, and every statement I say is definitely true, but I'm curious to which one.
I think he's referring to sports entertainment guys, referring to the brotherhood of it all, I believe. You know, could also be that, you know, some of the students are lazy motherfuckers. So
yeah, go with that one. I would say, I wouldn't say some, I would say more than 50%. That's unfortunate.
So, you know, you kind of said it, May 17th is the Future Shock. That's the next show coming up, right?
No, May 3rd. May 3rd. We're still working on it. It's Let It Ride, Moment of Truth. You know, Mikey's been, you know, still recovering. It's like, dude, we need to get that flyer out. Let's go. It's 10 days away. You know, I already still, know.
Is Mikey still in Allegiant Stadium?
I think he's still. I still think he's hugging that chair.
Yeah.
You know. The Nevada State title will be on the line. Duke Lawrence will be there. The tag team titles will be on the line.
Nice.
So I know Bodie will be there also. So we're trying to put together the card. And hopefully, you know, in the next couple of days, by the weekend, we'll have at least a good weekend, you know, at least a good week to get the word out. But I'm trying to get the word out now. I can make the announcement now, making their return, not jumping people, but making their return, the Suavecitos.
Wow.
May 3rd, they will be there. Mariachi Montaña, they will be there. I can't believe we're not going to do something there. Cinco de Mayo weekend with the two self-proclaimed best Mexican tag team in FSW, both in the house.
Are we getting a tequila on the pole match?
Maybe there was some leftover from the bottles that All Caribbean Wrestling gave out because they had a gift bag and they were like, hey, everybody, bottomless tequila shots. And it's like, hey, bro, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. But that shit ain't happening in my place. Oh, yeah, okay, I got you. You know, is that good if we give it? Yeah, you can give out a gift bottle. So I should have scored at least, you know. Yeah, the guy rented his own porta potty. He had rented chairs. He had a tent. Man, yeah. JB Cool, you know, went full circle on that one. He was all in. And after they were done, I was like, oh, okay, cool. We got two porta potties. This motherfucker put a lock on the porta potty even after they were done. Like, man.
Oh, man.
Nobody was crapping in his porta potty. And he turned it upside because they had the show at like 11 o'clock. So right. It was weird. I'm like, there's another porta potty coming. And it was like 2:30, 2 o'clock. And I talked to the guy. I'm like, well, you guys just delivered this one. You were not taking it already, are you? Oh, no. Yeah, this is. And I didn't know who it was. So I thought like the Texas Wrestling Cartel guy. So now right. The guy's getting mad because he's like, well, I wanted it at 6 o'clock. You need to take it back and bring it back. And it's like, dude, we're dropping off a porta potty. Who gives a fuck? You know what I mean? Right. And for whatever reason, they had to bring it back. And it was 6 o'clock. We had to push it by the entrance in the back. But they turned it so nobody could use it till they got there. So he was taking the first piss in the porta potty, I guess. I don't know.
Oh, man.
Strange thing, WrestleMania weekend turnout, I guess.
Oh, man. And you know, no one informed them of where the restrooms were in the backstage area, which is down a little bit by the fence and the dumpster.
Yeah. You know, and I had gotten the porta potty for the 2 days, and it was just like, because we knew there was going to be people there, and we were trying to help. We were trying to alleviate all the piss in the corner of our alley.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, man. And by the way, that's something that, you know, again, commend you guys for making sure, you know, the bathrooms were clean. The stands, the arena was clean. I know, unfortunately, some of that had been done by you guys.
Yeah, Rocky came in the one morning to do it before everybody. So Jonathan, you know, helped out as always.
That's one of the things I think the guys got to learn is that this is your environment, man. This is your space, your temple. If you're training there, if you do shows there, if you get paid to be there, help out. Just, you know, take a piece of trash, get that trash out of there, and
or take your own fucking bottled water that you stole from me in the refrigerator in the back and at least throw it out.
Exactly. Oh, man. All right, so May 3rd, pinata on a pole match between Suavecitos and El Mariachi. It's great that, you know, we're already seeing, the Damien Desire and Bryce, defend the titles and Duke defend the title. You know, no rest for these guys. You know, they want them now, they're defending them right away. I think that's excellent to see. And,
well, you know, basically we had to take a lull. It was like, you know, we had one show after No Escape that was FSW. You know, we had two shows Mania Week. They were an ID show and a women's tournament. So we only had the one show. And, you know, we got to get back in. You know, we got stories to tell. We got matches to make. We got an anniversary June 15th. You know, so we basically May 3rd and May 31st is the lead-in to the 16th anniversary show. Now, it's a little easier. You got your Nick Bockwinkel Battle Royal. You got your cash in the case. You can kind of insert people. We already know Danny Limelight and Ice Williams is the main event.
Right.
And we know Brittany Brooks is the number one contender for Gypsy Mac. So probably hold off, and that'll be You know, so that's four matches already set for the anniversary. Now we got to get there. And where's the Nevada State title? Where's the who's in the cash in the case? Who's wrestling for the No Limits Championship? Who's wrestling for the Tag Team Championship? Who is the Tag Team Champions? So we got a few shows to, you know, get that rolling.
And you also still have a cashless cashed in case.
Yes.
Greg Shaw.
And he has till the anniversary to cash it in.
Yeah.
So hopefully we'll get a statement from him coming up.
Yeah. I think Sports Entertainment guy wants that pinata on a pole match, man.
I guess so. You know.
And shout out to Greg Sharp too. You know, I think Greg had about four matches this weekend, and again, everything that Greg does is there not one of you still forget how young he is, you know, and everything, every time he goes in there,
it's an old man, like, just ask him.
Yeah. It's just amazing what Greg does every time he goes in there. And
yeah, Manny Week's no big deal because he travels all the time all over the place.
So. Right. You know.
This was a break for him. He was all in one town for the whole week.
Yeah, absolutely.
This was easy pickings for him.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, just, you know, again, just, you know, interesting thing to see what's going to happen with that cash in the case before the next cash in the case match is done on the anniversary show. Can he cash in the case for a spot in the cash in the case match?
I guess, but the question is, can two people try to cash in the case in the same match?
Oh, so well, yeah, dude, we've never seen that. That's true, right? Because technically, interesting. Very interesting.
Well, there you go. So it's like, if you could find a tag team partner, you could cash in the tag belts and try to cash in one of the singles belts. And become a multiple champion in the same thing.
Right. And for instance, if G Sharp found, let's say, Duke Lawrence, they could win those belts, and then Greg could win the cash in the case for this year. And then cash it in and win, let's say, the championship, right? And then they could have
or he can align with Duke Lawrence.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Cash in the tag belts and then cash in the singles belt. And then they would have three of the belts.
Three belts. Yeah. Right. Boy, that never thought about those two as a
or. If Duke Lawrence won the cash in the case, he could either do the tag or he could be the Nevada State champion. He can go after the heavyweight champion.
Right.
And Sharp could do the tag belts with Duke.
Right. And Duke could have three belts.
Yeah. You know, that's a possibility too.
And you could probably I was trying to see if
they could figure a way to get all four, but yeah, that won't work.
I just want to see Duke with three belts. I mean, one belt can't fit around him. I wonder if you put all three together. I mean, that man, again, massive, massive man. As we kind of wrap up here, any final thoughts going forward, you know, looking back and going forward, you kind of, you know, this is your breathe time for a couple days and then until the anniversary show is done, it's just keep going.
Yeah, no, as we say, no rest for the wicked. But it's like, you know what? As much as what happened and how much was done, I wouldn't trade it in for anything. This is the ultimate, you know? And it's like, you know, maybe you look back and it's like, well, maybe I should have grabbed some of those tickets and went to WrestleMania. But I was so beat. And it was like, you know, we did so much going on. The fact of the matter is our crew that was there, production, whatever, you know, we killed it. And everything went well. And everybody was happy. The Winner's Circle Pro Show, we did the full production on. you know, and we got a good amount of viewers for that also. So it was like, you know what? People now know. And it's like, hey, wow, this is, you know, people who didn't know, hey, this is a great venue. So one of the guys from who's works with Stardom, he came in, Daniel knows him, he came in, Ho Ho Yan or something like that his name is. And he came in, he dropped in yesterday, you know, he sent me a thank you, but he was inquisitive about, you know, trying to do something with a show at the facility because, you know, they did the one show, I guess it was at Mead or the Space, and then he was telling me they weren't allowed to sell merch. You know, there was a lot of things you couldn't do based off that venue. And I'm like, yeah. And I said, I can get you a better deal at the Silverton to begin with. I think West Coast Pro went. And I'm like, well, that was your mistake. You guys went to work with a company from California in Vegas. You should have talked to the Vegas company first. We have our, you know, we know everything that's going on. You know, we can help you and lead you in the right direction. So,
yeah, there you go. And obviously, inquiries never end, as you know, your phone blows up right as we say goodbye. So
yes,
never rest for the wicked, you know.
No rest, you know, but I'm back to normal. I'm still tired, you know, get my sleep, you know. Thanks for listening and watching in.
Yeah, everyone, thank you for spending your time. And you know, it's now going to be that May rush into the anniversary show, which is always one of the, you know, biggest events for you every year. You know, that's the exciting.
Hopefully we can, you know, capitalize on everything that's been done the last few months. And if we can make this the biggest anniversary show ever, then that would mean we would have our biggest attendance ever. So we're definitely looking forward.
Well, let's hopefully make that happen, everyone. Thank you again for tuning in. And until next time, everyone, happy wrestling, everybody.